This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hi everyone, Delphina Correa here from Be Made Whole and Maxwell Leadership. Today we're on part 5 of a very interesting series, and the title of the series is Developing the Leader Within You, based on the book by John Maxwell, based on the updated version of that book, which is a more recent one. Last week, we're on part 5, and last week we ended with a question. And the question was, what do you think is the ultimate test of leadership? Today, I want to answer that question to you. And the test of leadership is creating positive change. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This whole segment today is going to be on how you can create positive change as a leader. And that will be your test. And if you are able to create that positive change, then you will pass your test as a leader until the next test. Of course, there's going to be another test, but you will pass a very vital test of your leadership. So leading change can be very difficult at times because it comes with challenges. Whenever you do something new, there's always a problem arises or a challenge or obstacles or adjustments you got to make. There's a lot that can happen when we are leading change. And we want our team to be on board with us when we make changes as leaders, because that's how we're going to be able to make those changes successfully. And there is a leader that's called a U-turn leader. If you can successfully create positive change, especially in a negative situation, then I would classify you as a U-turn leader. A U-turn leader takes a team that's going downward, stops the negative momentum, and then changes the direction of that team and creates a positive momentum so that that team is moving in the right direction and building momentum. So stay with me today. I'm going to show you how to be a U-turn leader if you're not. Maybe you're in an environment now where you've got a challenge. You're in a department that's not doing well and you want to turn it around. I hope to give you some help today that's going to help you pass this test of your leadership. Important point to realize is that when there's change that we need to lead as leaders, then if we want to apply this change and be effective, we've got to realize that people feel awkward and self-conscious when they do something new. And as a leader, you can't be afraid of that. You can't be afraid of changing. You can't be afraid of the resistance that your team might initially put up to the change. So there's a way that you can do it to bring everyone onto the same page. Think about how difficult change can be. If you just take your hands and fold them, like when you're praying and you cross your fingers, interlock your fingers, it's the same thumb that always lands up on top, right? Because that's your natural way. That's what you're used to. Now try to flip them around so that the other thumb is on top and you feel how uncomfortable that feels. You know, you just want to put it back the other way. It's so uncomfortable. That's how difficult change can be. That's just an illustration of it, but it can really be difficult to make changes because it's uncomfortable. And people initially focus on what they need to give up. It's not the change that they're resisting. They're resisting being changed. There's a two-frame cartoon. It's so funny. On the first frame, the leader is asking a question. He says, "Who wants change?" And everybody's hands are up. And then the second frame, the leader's asking, "Who wants to change?" And nobody's hands up. So we got to realize that it is just the being changed that they are resisting. I want to share a quick story, my own story, about how I made this mistake when, as a family, my husband and I, we decided to homeschool our children. And when we made that decision, we actually didn't give them time to process. It was a very quick decision that was made, and we were kind of just trying to get them on board, but we didn't give them time to process. We didn't explain to them all these things, and all they could see was what they were going to lose out on. We knew it was a decision we had to make. The Lord had led us to that, and we knew it was right, but initially, it was an adjustment for them, but especially two of the three, of our three children, two of them were a bit more challenged than the third, the one. But the point I'm trying to make is we made that mistake. We were doing a good thing. We were doing the right thing. But because our method was wrong, it made the transition more difficult. It just added obstacles on our path. And I mean, I've spoken to them since and apologized for that. And so everything is fine today. But the point I'm trying to make is if only I knew these principles back then, I would have done it differently. I would have explained things. My husband and I would have taken time and sat with them and had a few meetings with them. We maybe would have extended it and waited a little bit longer before we actually began to implement it. We would have done things a lot differently. And I believe that would have really made a difference for us when we started that journey. But, you know, this is what happens when you don't know how to do a thing. You do it wrong. You give yourself more obstacles. So please, stay with me. If you're a leader wanting to create positive change, stay with me. I want to help you to do it better so that you have less of these difficulties and obstacles, because the challenges are going to come anyway. But we don't want to have unnecessary challenges. Ralph Waldo Emerson said an interesting thing talking about being changed. He said, for everything you gain, you lose something. Let's face it, you got to give up to go up. There's always something you're going to have to let go of, something that's going to have to change. I want to ask you a question today. Before you think of the answer, let me elaborate. The question is, are you a saver or a thrower? I'm sure everyone just wants to be a saver now, but let me explain first. When I say saver, I mean, do you hold on to things that you no longer need to hold on to? You know the hoarders? People who just keep everything, they can't let it go, they can't give it away. Or are you a thrower? And by thrower, I mean, do you get rid of what you don't need anymore? You know, you get some people who are, you know, that they like decluttering regularly. I'm one of those people, you know, the house is not that big that I can keep everything, so I need to get rid of things every now and then. So now I want to ask you again, are you a saver or are you a thrower? I think for some of you that it's the other way now. You don't want to be the saver anymore. You want to be the thrower. But the point is, we got to get rid of things that are weighing us down. They become weights. You got to give up to go up. I want to ask you a question. What are some beliefs, some habits, and even good things that you need to give up in order for you to go up? I want to tell you a quick story about my parents. I have said in the previous segment that my parents are the founders of Bright's Hardware. And you know, in the early years, they gave up a whole bunch of stuff. They gave up habits. They gave up the old way of life. They gave up a whole bunch of good things. When they started Bright's, it was a sacrifice. And they gave up, and they gave up, and they gave up, and they gave up for 6 long years. And it took 6 years before they began to see a compounding growth. Before that, it was paying off debts, and there were a lot of other things happening. There were ups and downs, but it was 6 years before they actually broke through to compounding growth, to on a level where they were actually seeing good profit, that it was notable. Would you give up something for 6 years? Even a good thing that, so that you can maybe get it back later when things are different. Today we look at Brighton, all you see is the success. 9 branches at the time of this recording. But I was there. I was there in the shop. I saw the hard work and the hard times and the sacrifice that they made to build Brights to what it is today. So what are you holding on to that's keeping you from embracing something new? Is there something that you're holding on to you? I want to encourage you, be a thrower. Throw it away. Get rid of it and embrace something new that's going to serve you better. People are also afraid of being ridiculed. Remember this series, we're talking about leading positive change. And when you've got a team and you want to change something, they don't want to be ridiculed. People who do something different will always run that risk. They're going to be mocked or ridiculed. When I first got, before I got my glasses, I got pinhole frames because I heard about pinhole frames and people were looking at me funny and they thought, oh no, you just are denial, don't want to get glasses. Meanwhile, I was testing something out. Today I have both. You see, lenses actually compensate for your eyes and they make your eyes lazy. And your eyes just get worse and worse the more you depend on the lenses. But the pinholes are like a pinhole camera. You know, in school we used to do those projects, the pinhole camera. So your eye focuses through pinholes, small little holes, and then it forces the eye to focus and it's actually exercising those eyes. So there's a time to rest your eyes and there's a time to exercise them. So I use both of them now, but right in the beginning, oh boy, People thought I was nuts, but I didn't care. I was learning. I was discovering things. And today I'm so glad I didn't take notice of the funny expressions that I got. People also personalize change, and they sometimes feel alone, even if they're not. And as a leader, we need to be patient with our team, because change is not an event. It's a process. And we tend to overestimate the event, but underestimate the process. I want to give you John Maxwell's, it is a 9-step process to creating positive change. So you can take notes. If you can't take notes, you'll get the recording. I'll give you that info at the end. Maybe you're driving and you can't write anything down, but this is really going to help you if you want to create positive change, not just in a work environment, but maybe even in your home. I should have used this when we started homeschooling. I wish I knew this, but I didn't know it back then. And so I did everything back to front, upside down and inside out. We got to the end, but it was a much harder journey because I didn't use the right process. So here it is, John Maxwell's how to effect positive change. And he uses an acronym, and the acronym is Plan Ahead, PLANAHEAD. The first letter in the acronym is the P, and that is predetermine the change that is needed. So you've got to write down, what am I trying to do? What effect am I trying to have? What end result do I want? We'll predetermine that, and you will write it down. The next step is the L, lay out your steps. You might not have all the steps, but at least you know 2 or 3 steps from where you're at now to move in that direction. So when you consider this change, what are the steps that you need to take? Next time you need to consider change, ask yourself, what are the steps that I need to take? The third step in the process is A, adjust your priorities. You see, there is a danger when we adjust priorities, and we can confuse cosmetic and critical changes, cosmetic changes versus critical changes. A cosmetic change is normally easier, but it's not that effective. But a critical change, that's the change that's from the inside out. You know, the change where I've got to change maybe attitudes and habits and ways that I'm doing things. And it's normally more difficult, but it also normally costs you more. It's all those things. Costs you time, energy, resources, thinking patterns, structures. It's going to cost a whole lot more when we make critical changes, but it's also more effective. So when I'm adjusting my priorities, I must put the critical changes on top, cosmetic changes at the bottom. Focus on the ones that are really going to make a difference to see quick results. Next point in the process is the N, notify key people. Before you notify everybody, you notify your key people, and you've got to find out who those key people are. Who's the person who's going to be behind this to make it fly? Who's actually going to fly it? Who are the key role players in this change? When you answer those questions, it points you to the people who need to know about the changes first. First, the key people, you get them on board, and then after that, you tell everyone else. So we don't just tell everyone just right now. Unless it's like a very small team, maybe you've got 2 or 3 people on a team, that can be done. But when you're working with bigger teams, you can't tell everyone at the beginning. You tell your key people first and then everyone else. Next step in the outline is allow, A, the A of ahead. Allow time for acceptance. Allow time. Now, we know they need to accept it. We need to give them time to process and all that. But the key word here is time. Because when people hear something first, this is how the process goes. The first thought is, it ain't going to work. The second thought is, it's going to cost too much. It might work, but it's going to cost too much. And then the third step is, I thought it was a good idea all along. I knew it was going to work, you know. They eventually come around. And it can be a challenge to wait on others to accept the change that you want to make. So the key is, when you structure the change, you've got to actually schedule in the time. You've got to schedule time into the process. You put it in the planning. You've also got to slow down when it comes to time. How do you give people time? You slow it down. You make your communication clear and simple. You don't want people saying that, oh, you didn't prepare properly, or you railroading through this. You're not having consideration for us. And there's another agenda that's you hiding. You know, that's why you're rushing. And they're going to start to question your ability as a leader. So you don't want to just rush through things. You don't want to force things. You want to answer questions. You want to encourage. You got to slow it down. Your communication must be clear and simple. You know, if you're going to explain something to your team, you got to ask yourself, would I understand what I'm saying? Will they understand what I'm saying? Will they be able to repeat it to someone else? And will that person also understand? You know, how clear and simple is my communication and my explanation of this positive change that I'm trying to effect? I would say that you can know for sure that your people have clearly heard you when you ask them strategic questions after you've explained something. You explain it and then you ask a question or two to see how far, how much they understand. And so we got to build time. Allow time for acceptance. The next letter in the acronym is H in AHEAD. H means stands for head into action. You never know the level of your people's commitment until you call them to action. There are often some who are not yet on board. They're not ready to take action. And you will know that when you call to action, that's when you start seeing. You start to see who's the player and who's the pretender. Someone once said that vision unites people. But you know what? When you start acting on that vision, it's not going to unite. It's going to separate. It'll separate the people who will from the ones who won't. And that's a good thing. When you move to action, you're going to see who's really committed. The people who are really committed are going to act. Those who don't act, it's because they're not really committed. You need to maybe spend more time with them. Maybe you need to give them more time, or maybe you need to have a conversation with them about it and find out what is it that's causing them not to be committed. The next step is to expect problems. E, expect problems. Anytime you initiate any kind of new thing or a change, problems will arise. Obstacles will come because it's a new thing. There are some things you can't foresee. And we need to make decisions based on pros and cons. Whenever we're planning, we've got to think of pros and cons. When problems come, look at the pros and the cons. Use your experience to get through those problems. But don't be surprised when the problem comes. And the second last point is, A, always point to the successes. People need time to focus on what's really changing rather than on their fears of moving forward or what they're going to give up, all those things. And as a leader, when you're effecting change, you need to think of ways that you can help your people to see the positive rather than to be distracted by the negative. Because there's always going to be something negative. There's no perfect system, but the end result is what we're looking at. We're looking at what we're hoping to achieve. And the thing that we're hoping to achieve is, well, it should be a win-win for everybody. Everyone should benefit at the end of that change. We've just got to get through it. So you keep your team focusing on that end result. And the last letter is D in the acronym, plan ahead. D for daily review your progress. Reviewing is so important. This is what John talks a lot about. I use it a lot in my life, reflecting. Reflecting all the time, evaluating, reflecting, evaluating what has happened, how far you've come through the process. I mean, how do you know if what you're doing is really working? It's done. You begin to see that when you review, when you reflect. Reflecting or reviewing first will prompt you to make sure that you're on track. That you need to know. That's important. You're still moving forward. And secondly, it will remind you to keep communicating this change to your people. It keeps you aware of the changes and you schedule in that touching base with your people, communicating and talking with them. And you want to find time to review daily, especially in a time. I review my whole day, my life daily. But in leadership, especially when you are busy effecting changes that's going to improve what's where the team is. Let's say you're that U-turn leader, you're turning around a downward spiral, and you're busy turning that whole ship around to go in a positive direction, I would say review daily. Don't let one day go by without looking at your progress and making sure you're on track. So the final word on character is credibility, isn't it? Credibility. Credibility creates authority, and that comes from everything that I've been talking about throughout the series. We are on part 5 today. All these 5 parts, everything we've talked about, influence, priorities, integrity, character, it all comes down to credibility. If your people buy into you, then they will want what you want because they trust you. Remember the trust issue that we spoke about? And they will align with your vision even if it requires change. You want them to trust you. When your people get to a level of trusting you, it just makes everything move faster. They grow faster, they work with you faster, they cooperate better. Everything just begins, your progress begins as a team to compound. How would you rate your credibility with your team? If you're a leader listening today, that's a question I have. How would you rate your credibility? I have an idea for you. If you would, maybe you're wondering, I wonder what they really think of me. I have an idea, a little exercise you can do. It might be very sobering. It might give you some reality checks, but it really is worth it. Send a little question to your team, a little piece of paper with 2 questions. They can answer anonymously if that's easier, if they prefer it, or they can give their names. But on this little paper, these are the 2 questions you've got to ask them. The first question is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your level of trust in me as your leader? And the second question is, why? Why do you give that rating? You know, I think when you get those answers, it's going to be such a revealer. You're really going to see where your team is at, and you're going to find out how well you have been connecting and leading your team. And like I said, it could be a very sobering experience. But you know what? As long as you are finding what needs to be improved so that you can be a better leader, it is really worth it. And it will just make things better for you and for your team. That is it for today. Next week, we will continue with part 6 of the series. In the meantime, you can visit my website at bemadewhole.co.za. There you will find all the courses that I'm licensed to train, Maxwell Leadership courses. And as a certified trainer, I can even help you to get certified. There are also books there that I have written available as downloads as well as hard copies. Hard copies can be delivered to your door in South Africa. And if you live near a Bright hardware store in the Western Cape, you can even pop in at a Bright's, and there are selected Bright's hardware stores that have my hard copy books, and you can get one there. If you're near one of those stores, the information is all on the website. My blog is there with all my teachings, videos, and podcasts. And the podcasts are where all these recordings are. So you'll find all that there. You can subscribe to the blog, and you'll get a notification. Normally when something is aired on the radio, within 2 days, it becomes available on the podcast. So you can get that there. If you missed anything, if you want to go back to something, you want to make some notes, I want to encourage you to go back and apply the things that you have been learning in this series. Social media is there too. Please follow me on social media, and then you can stay up to date with all my life tips and ideas on how you can become better. There's also community transformation, and there you will see the difference that Be Made Whole is making in a community in South Africa as well as other communities in Africa. Thank you very much for being with me today. Join me again next week as we continue with the series Developing the Leader Within You.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.